I can walk it. It was cool to walk.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Mount Pleasant City Council, 24th of January, 2023, 6:30 regular meeting. We're going to start off tonight with Chief Wilberg leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, after which Steve Clark will offer us the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful this day to be able to gather together as citizens of this community and as friends, to be able to consider the important business of the government of this city. We pray thy hand upon the council members that they will have the interest of the city, all of the citizens at heart when they do their important business. We're grateful for the form of government we have that allows participation of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And we pray for thy wisdom and thy sustaining care. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next, we'll have a roll call.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Ronji.
Here.
Sam.
Here.
Okay, next is approval of claims. Claim register dated 1-7 of 2023 to 1-20 of 23 in the amount of $273,934.19.
On the hotel, Gene.
Which one?
On the one for fire school, they're sending a check back for the lady that I got the original one I called to give you the amount. She screwed it up, so we'll get like a couple hundred bucks back or something.
Okay.
Check back.
I'll watch that. So. Thank you.
This electric bond, how long is that for?
How much longer we got on the electric bond? It was a 20-year bond, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, 2014 was when we took it out. So we still got 11 more years. Okay.
This Fairfield Lodge, is that where we stayed up there in Corvallis?
No, that's the one that Sam's talking about. The guy, our fire department's down at fire school down in St. George.
That Corvallis was covered by...
Yeah, you have covered that. That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
You stayed home and nothing exciting happened.
That was last night. Earliest morning, I guess, whichever you call it. Police members tried to burn their house down.
Who?
This payment to the landfill, we collect that on our city bill.
We collect that on our city bill and then we hold... Let's see, is it 40 cents or 60 cents on the landfill? I can't remember which one's. The fire district's the same way.
And then we just pay.
Fire district, we keep it all.
No, it's not that much.
No, it's 25 cents, sorry. And I think the other one's only 30.
The other one's 30. I thought it was 40, but I couldn't remember. We're the highest paying in the county.
Why?
That was a good question we brought up last night at Commissioner meeting. We have more power hookups because we have all the Skyline Mountain Resort in Aspen Hills.
What's that got to do with?
Because they're billed on the meter. Utility bills on the meters. The fire and the garbage is billed off of your city
off the power
meter.
And that doesn't seem right. I mean,
We either collect it or Rocky Mountain does.
We collect it from Aspen Village and all the...
Anything that's city colors.
Anything that's city colors.
That makes sense.
If Rocky Mountain, they do a separate collection for us.
Yeah, they do it on their bill too.
So we have any questions on this motion? Approve invoice register dated 1/7/22, 1/20/23.
$19.
Is that what I said?
You said 18.
Oh, 18, sorry.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, a motion by Sam, seconded by Ronnie, to approve claim register dated 1/7/2023 to 1/20/2023 in the amount of $273,934.19. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Ronnie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, requisitions. First one we got, hope everybody stacks the same, from the police department for a new vehicle, a leased vehicle, I guess I should say. Do you want to say anything about it, Jim?
So this will be to replace our 2015 vehicle diesel truck that Officer Blackburn drives right now. The cost on the lease, the equipment and the installation is included in that, so it'll be... So if you remember the city manager from Nephi, when he came the other day, he was talking about how they lease their vehicles and then it kind of pays for itself. That's kind of where I selected drive the time. It'd be $5,000 a year for 3 years, and then you just sell the vehicle and hopefully get excess money back and then just keep that into our, put that back into our fleet. So we could possibly run, it might not work out right that well this time, just because of the equipment that we have to purchase for this one, because it's a, it basically covers our new officers, their vehicle. But, and replacing that other part-time one, but it should break about even, or give to have a little excess to put back into our fleet. So the first 3 years of the lease is basically $5,000 a year, then it jumps up to $18,000 a year after that. So if we sell within that, we just use it for the 3 years and sell it, and just kind of keep the fleet running that way, it should kind of pay for itself over time.
Well, on this type of lease, you don't have to give it back to whoever you lease it from. You can sell it.
You sell it, yeah. And then they will take it back and sell it for us. And
do they hit you for depreciation on it after 3 years?
No. Well, after, so it depends on the mileage and the condition of the vehicle. We don't put a lot of mileage on them, so they like to sell them in 2 years. But I don't know. I know the guy from Nephi said they do it every year, which is a bigger cost for the installation fee. So the labor and installation fee for this one is $2,240. So if you run that every 3 years instead of every year, that kind of offsets that cost a little bit. I think it's more cost efficient to run it over the 3 year time instead of changing the equipment out every year. It's a bigger expense. So
what are you going to do with the truck that you're replacing?
Use it as our part-time vehicle, so if something breaks down, we'll have something. The 2006 Durango that we have, it's shot, it's kind of ready to be replaced, so we'll just replace that truck. And we use that, you know, someone's vehicle breaks down or needs to be repaired, whatever. We have something extra to run. If we have events like the 4th of July and stuff where we have extra people that we want to put out and help with that advance, they don't have an extra vehicle for someone to come out. So that's kind of what we're just going around.
Is this new one a diesel?
No, it's just a gas.
Good.
They pay for anything that breaks under lease, don't they pay for all the maintenance and everything on it?
No, that's not part of this agreement. This is just, we're responsible for maintenance and stuff. But they do have companies that do that, but it's, right now, they're like $700,000, $8,000 a year, so it's just not worth.
Who's this?
This is just, so the vehicle's from Ken Garf, leasing to the guys, I think.
So does it have a warranty on it?
Yes.
So we don't have the same warranty like a regular new vehicle, but the maintenance side of it's city part.
Anything major that breaks down, we cover under warranty and stuff, we're just responsible for it. We might have to change the tires out in a few years, or, you know, do something, we need to fit. Usually they're newer vehicles, they don't have too many problems.
So is the grand total the 18, is that with the, is that with the three, five-year, or the 3 years of $5,000 lease and on the bottom of the last page? That's what I couldn't find, the actual total, what it would be with. So it'd be the $15,000 basically for the lease, but then if you get the equipped.
With the equipment, so the first 3 years would be $5,000 a year. The fourth year, if we keep it, then it would jump up to $18,467. And then every year after that would be the same amount. So, I mean, they kind of geared this way to where it's cheaper, and they kind of, they base it on you selling it after the 3 years and replacing it with kind of the same type.
Right.
So that's where, that's why that jumps up so much in that fourth year, is because, you know, if you, they have to get their money back if you decide to keep it or whatever, you know. You could turn it in and or else you could buy it outright or keep paying the lease, either way, they're going to get their money. I mean, they pay for what their projections are. They say that after the 3 years at the $5,000 a year, there's still enough there that they're going to get their money out of it and we can sell it and pay them off, pay it off. And so that's why it's based that way. That makes sense.
So on the very last page I have here, it's got a bunch of your, like your signaling and all that. Is that separate?
No, that's included in it.
That's included in it?
Yeah. So the vehicle itself is $47,000, and then the equipment is $18,705.
I guess my question, what does the amount need to approve?
I talked to Dave about, he said it was $4,999.
Is all we need to approve tonight?
That's what, is that right, Dave? And that would be for 3 years.
The pink paper is the position with this number on it.
You might want to do that, then your equipment installation fee.
That's all included in that.
Okay.
The equipment's got built into that, right?
Okay.
So you're getting, oh, yeah, you're getting a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Equipment installation and vehicles are all built into that.
$49,999.
I don't think you'd.
That's a really price.
Okay.
I don't think you'd want to keep it after 3 years.
No.
Turn it over, yeah.
You can do that. I'll be surprised too after 3 years if they don't try to hook you for depreciation, because that's what they did to me.
Well, you could, I mean,
Mileage is different on the lease.
Yeah, but see, it's the government.
The government lease is different, and then where we buy it under the government contract pricing, that's a reduced price for the initial purchase of the vehicle, and so then that kind of offsets the cost on the back side when you're trying to resell it. So you buy it at a discount rate and sell it at retail, and so that's kind of how it's supposed to be.
I'd like to buy it only for $47,000.
What is it we're getting?
2022 Ford Explorer.
Is it 23 or 22?
22.
22. You got an amount, man, just a portion.
So it's $2,999.99, and the requisition number that Jimmy has here on the paper for me is 01-2423-1725.
I'll make a motion to accept that requisition.
I'll second it.
All right, Sam makes the motion to, and Paul seconds the requisition number 01-2423-1725 for a 22 Ford Explorer lease of $4,999.99 for a 3-year lease.
Who made the motion?
Sam? Paul?
What says $70,000 equipment lease?
I think that's what the new vehicle is. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next, we have a requisition from the fire department, requisition 12-3202-31501 to ICPE. ICPE. For $8,100 to do a solar system study.
Want me to talk about that, or?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it before, but the.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we got close to. But we've been looking at the solar that we got coming on the grid. We got close. If everything was just working perfectly, we'd have close to 500 kW coming back onto the grid. And so we wanted to make sure that this solar that's coming back on the grid is not affecting our power factor and causing issues on our grid. And so ICP is doing the study. And the reason why I kind of went with ICP is because they did our system study a while ago and everything. So they already have a lot of the information. I just got to get the information from this last year. And so it should be pretty simple, hopefully. And then we can actually look on feeders, because it kind of worries me. Like, think of the hydro line. You know, we got three generators on that line feeding back on there, plus a lot of solar coming back from Freedom Ranch and a few other solar customers along there. So you could eventually run into a saturation issue, which could cause issues and affect the wind power factor throughout the city. And so we want to make sure that we keep that high, as close to 100% power factor as we can. And if we need to, we might have to say, no, this feeder's already got enough solar coming on it. So, but down south of town, yeah, we can let people come in on there. And so it's kind of a first come, first serve basis, and that's why we kind of made we've kind of put the stop on the solar right now until we see exactly where we're at sitting on our system. So for the 8,100, Shane, do they come in and like put meters on your system to kind of test it, or do you have to get them all the information?
I get them the information. Yeah, so we got some bar recorders that we hang up on the line, and so we'll go through and hang these bar recorders up, and we'll get that information and send that in.
And so then they get to evaluate whatever the information you send them.
Yeah. Yeah, we bought these bar recorders from, I don't know if you guys were around, but Comlink. Comlink used to be a big engineering firm that we worked with a lot. And they went out of business, and we bought these bar recorders. So that's what we use between all the cities and stuff. But we're the ones that owns it. So.
So I guess they'll develop and provide reports.
I don't know what it curtails, but didn't you say something about we have to clean a lot of that up?
Yes. Yeah, if your file comes over that, because sometimes when the solar comes in, it's not always maintaining that 60 hertz per second. It's not always maintaining that. So our system has to come in and kind of clean that up. So it could come to a point where the hydros have been doing a great job for years. You know, our hydros have been cleaning it all up. We haven't had to put up capacitor banks and all that. But now with the solar coming on and with more load coming on, that's something that we might have to look into. So, and so what a capacitor bank does, it actually makes the voltage, it takes the voltage and the current, and then it comes back out, goes back into these capacitors. Then it comes back and it puts the current ahead of the voltage. Because as it goes further down the line, the voltage then tends to start leading the current.
So question for you, going into all that, the citizens have to pay for that, that even if we're not on solar. Is there a way that we can charge people that are putting solar on a fee to cover those things so the citizens ain't paying for that?
Yes, yes, and so I'm currently looking into that right now, either on the solar customers raising their base fee a little bit to kind of cover some of that cost. Okay. And then we're also going to, when we bring the solar back online, we might actually have to put a cap on it. Say we can only go to 600 kW. And after that, we're done. Or if we can go a little more, we can actually increase the cost. I want to increase the cost because they only pay $400 for that meter. You know, with my time, with Natalie's time, and all that, there's a lot of time involved. I want to increase the residential close to 600 and the commercial close to 1,000.
And that's if they have solar.
That's if they have solar.
That's the application.
That's the application fee, yes. And then also on the base fee, you know how you pay $21 a month? Maybe increase their base fee a little bit to kind of cover that cost if we do have to go put capacitor banks on.
I'm not against solar. I just think, if they do, it kind of sucks that everybody has to pay for a few that are kind of creating that. They're creating the problem.
Right, exactly. So if it comes down to that, and so that's what we'll have to see exactly what this study comes back as and see on our system where if we do have to put capacitor banks, then we would go to the drawing board and see what we're going to do on these solar customers. Because where Wasatch right now is looking at doing a lot of their buildings. But the thing is with Wasatch, they're right in the middle of town. It's not the perfect location for the solar. If I wanted a lot of solar coming on the grid, I want it by the substation. And so we might look into maybe doing something like community solar. There's people out there that don't want to put panels on their house, but yet they can buy into like a solar farm, maybe out by our...
We talked about the sewer ponds being
used. The sewer ponds or something like that, yeah. Like maybe do like a, you know, 500 kW or 300 kW system, and then see if, who wants to be involved in that from the citizens. And then we'll just offset their bill with that. Because that would be an ideal location because it's right out by the substation. And so we're even coming back on the industrial park. We talked about the Contoy arena and stuff. And I know Mike Bowles is looking on that new building that he's doing. And so I'm not against it, but I want to make sure we're doing it right and that it's not affecting our system. So, yeah, I think so.
Well, then I'll make a motion that we approve requisition number 123202-31501 to ICPE in the amount of $8,100 for a, what is it, some cap?
Solar system study.
System solar study. Yeah.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Got the motion by Russell, seconded by Ronnie to approve requisition 123202-31501 to ICPE for a solar system study of $8,100. Roll call.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Ronnie?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next requisition. For basically a travel out of state for Shane to go to the IPSA annual meeting and banquet.
I forgot to put Mesquite on there, but I put Casablanca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for $283.99.
I thought I lived with Keith somewhere, I don't know. But maybe I was.
You just assumed Casablanca is Mesquite.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion that we approve. Send in Shane to the IPSA annual meeting and banquet in the amount of $283.99.
I'll second it.
Yeah, the motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn to approve sending Shane to attend the IPSA annual meeting and banquet for $283.99. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Ronkey?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next requisition is to send Kyle Sorensen to Rocky Mountain Electric Meter School, March 13th through the 16th in Fort Collins, Colorado, for the amount of $1,297.25.
I'll make the motion to send him to Colorado for metering school. Amount of 12, I guess I should say Kyle Sorensen, Fire Department, to metering school in Fort Collins, Colorado, in the amount of $1,297.25.
Okay, the motion by Sam, seconded by Russell, to send Kyle Sorensen to Rocky Mountain Electrical Meter School, March 13th through the 16th in Fort Collins, Colorado. Dollar amount is $1,297.25. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Ronkey?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Do you have any questions on that one, or? Now, we've all been to the meter school. Kyle's never been. And so usually you start right at the first and kind of work your way through. But we're going to throw them right into the hands-on kind of things and have them start from that. And then also I want him to acquire data and information on different metering systems, because ours is going to be discontinued. And so I want him to come back and report to us and see what he kind of does there. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Okay, next, Brittany, Aquatic Center Director, Cool Boiler.
We've got 3 minutes.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. So our boiler has had plenty of issues in the past, and we had it looked at, and it will not last the year. It is becoming a hazard, and it's not going to last the year. So we asked around some quotes, which you will see, on different kinds of boilers. And Mike can explain the boiler differences a lot better than I can. Yeah, I think he can explain it better than I can. There are three different kinds. There's a couple different kinds that we looked at. There is a base model. It's basically a bigger version of what we have now. It has been vetoed because we do not have the physical space for this system. It's also just a bigger version of what we've got, and what we have isn't working well. So that's why that one was vetoed. There are three other boilers.
Which one was vetoed?
Sorry, you don't. It's not,
you don't even have that on there.
It's not on there.
When we met with the suppliers, they didn't. After seeing the size of it and everything else, it's like, okay, it won't work.
Okay, so these all will work, what we have.
Yeah.
Yes. And they all include any and all safety features that the state requires. They will work with our system. It will not mess with our chemicals. And the chemicals will not mess with that, like the boiler system. It will not mess with our filtration system either.
The only thing is with the new boiler, we got to get it state certified.
Yes.
How we got away with that before, I don't know.
They didn't know we had a boiler until I called them to get it inspected. They're like, wait, you guys have a boiler? And I was like, yeah, we do. Cool, we didn't know. So we will make sure that they are aware of the boiler we have this time.
So there's two different options here then.
So basically what we're doing is we're looking at two different boilers, basically.
And I don't know that you would want I don't know if you want to go back.
About a year warranty on them?
They said that this one should last 30 years if it's treated in the third, like.
See, there's the indoor, which I'm gonna leave it up to Mike, because Mike done some looking into it. I think the hospital runs it, don't they? One of them?
Spanish Fork Hospital has this. So what I took and done is we have a whole energy management team at the hospital. So I called the Mike Morgan, who's over it, because I'd never heard of this Fulton boiler. So I called him, and he says they're definitely good boilers, they're probably top of the line. He says we could probably find a boiler for $3,000 to $4,000 cheaper. He says these are one of the best boilers there is.
So what?
And when we met with IHS, who is supplying the, so Stallings was the original one to reach out to IHS, and they come and met with us on the different boilers and heat exchangers and everything else, what it'd take to do it. They claimed that this boiler would pay for itself in 5 years of what we'd save on gas. The boiler itself would pay for itself. Then you got, you know, the installation and everything else to do all that, but. So on efficiency, they were just saying this one here is a 94% efficient. The one we have now, I think, was an 80. The one we have is an 80% efficient. So out of the heat that you're getting out of the boiler, 20% of it's just going up this out of the roof.
Originally, I would believe that, but given the wear and tear that has happened, I think it's higher than that.
Probably is now. So I don't know if you guys want to.
Yeah, I looked up.
Yeah, I went through the ones that were Stallings, is that for sure?
Yeah.
So there's that second one too.
Stallings estimate has the Fulton.
Yes. So Stallings has two estimates there. The other one was this one here, this RBI one. So what we're doing too is we're looking up boilers that's available. These boilers, both boilers are available. There's some cast iron ones here that are a little bit cheaper. They're very good boilers, but they're 28 to 30 weeks out before
and it takes,
we can even get them.
Yeah, and it takes 2 weeks to install, so we would have to shut down for 2 weeks.
Another 2 weeks.
Possibly more than that, because then we'd have to reheat the water as well.
Yeah.
So do you want to get this so you can install it while they're doing the plastering, or is that what you're up to?
Yes, and the company has said that they have access to it and they can get all of the, everything that they need to install it during that time frame.
Well, Stallings is a lot cheaper than this other one.
And actually, if you look
piece
at the
10,000, yeah, 10,000 on
the color-coded calendar. It can kind of show you where the boiler would be installed. It would be in the second week of our closure. Or no, sorry, the third and fourth weeks of our closure.
So this is the other, this is the other one we did. Is that
so,
one right there?
So what's the difference? I can't remember it was.
106
to
73. So it's about $1,000 cheaper than the other two.
$10,000.
Yeah.
Is that option one of Stallings with the Fulton boiler?
Yeah. Boiler down, just a little bit, it's 90,000.
So we're thinking we can get a CDPG money for that, I guess, part of it. That's what I was reading right here, or is that something else?
So the trouble comes with trying to do this so fast. There's not a whole lot of grant that we can do quick enough. The only option we had is like Shea, or mentioned 2 weeks ago. The only one that we can get quick enough would be the Outdoor Rec Grant and Land Water Conservation Fund. Mm-hmm. And we don't know, he's still trying to find out for sure if it'll work for an indoor pool. With our doors open, and we think we can force it to say we're an outside pool too, and we have the splash pad, so we probably qualify. If they get it, then that's a reimbursement program of 50-50. So we can still apply for that. Part of what we could do is we could use RAPTAX money to replace it with also.
would be exhausted.
How much money is that?
$60,000. That's what's in it, right?
Yeah. But I wished I knew more too what we had to do on the park. The other thing you can do with the RAP tax is you can borrow forward.
Yeah.
So we could take, you could say, because it's a 10-year program, you could say, okay, we're taking $10,000 this year, and we're going to take $10,000 for the next 9 years for $100,000 to pay for the boiler. So every year we got a RAP tax up, $10,000. So what we basically do is we borrow them from ourselves, or we could go out and borrow from a bank and then repay it.
Makes more sense to borrow from yourself, right? Do they charge an interest rate on that?
It just depends what the interest rate comes back at, because I'm getting about 3.6%.
3.6, yeah.
So it depends what the bank rate wants.
So is that a state set interest rate, I guess?
Yeah, the state interest rate, yes.
So that was kind of a lot of different options that are thrown with this boiler of trying to do it when we're plastering, so we don't have to reclose it. They re-looked at the other boiler, it's a little worse than you was hoping it was. I was hoping we could get another year or two. It's getting questionable.
I can show you pictures if you like. It's not good.
So
it makes sense to me to go with the better one for 106 from Stallings, the local contractor too, so.
The other ones, we wouldn't be able to get it in time for the plastering project.
The only two would be this one and that one is what we told us they had on hand, the cast iron ones. And they was just a little bit cheaper, but they wasn't much cheaper.
Not much.
Their efficiency rating, everything was pretty much the same.
Except for on this one, the 106 one,
yeah.
It's 18% higher, I think?
94% to it.
The other one was like 92, I think, the cast iron. And this one here is like 9, or cast iron, I can't remember now. I think this one was a 92.
What do you think it was? 92?
Well, it says up to 85% efficient.
So I guess my question would be is, funding-wise, where do we have money to pay for that now somehow? And then figure out how we want, whether we want to use a RAP tax or whatever to...
We've got a little time before. Well, we got a month and a half.
The biggest thing is we got to get it over.
That's right, yeah.
Because some of the pumps, they said, would be, they could get it, but it's going to be pushing right to when the time they would need them for the shutdown.
And the price goes up on that boiler, 20% in January.
Because the Stallings quote, they didn't change the date on the digital copy, but their quote does change in a couple weeks,
I think.
So, yeah.
What's the warranty on it, Britt?
I have no idea, but they did say that this one is supposed to last 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, most of them have, I don't say it's a 3-year warranty on them, but again, the key secret to them is a yearly maintenance on them.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I
That's the secret to them.
In fact, that Fulton, they require that they come in once a year, isn't it, Fulton? Mm-hmm.
They have to have just a trained person, and they said that Stallings was trained when we went that way.
Okay.
So.
Do they have a guarantee on their work for a year, like most contracts?
So it would be Stallings that would have to guarantee it, so.
Usually a contract is good. Once it's up and running, it's a year.
Oh, yeah, for the initial first year, yes. Yes. Yep. So I don't know, kind of a lot of different pieces and parts they're playing, and it's like, I don't, yeah.
How do you feel about financially, Dave?
I think we have to go forward with it, and there's different moving parts, and we'll, pursue the best option, whether it's a bank loan, hopefully it's a 50-50 grant that's reimbursable, but I feel even if nothing materializes, we have the capacity right now to self-finance, provided there's, you know, there's a lot of moving balls always in the air. But
there will be, one thing we didn't mention too, is there will be a little bit, they didn't tell us exactly what it was from Dominion Energy, because it's going high efficiency, we will get a little bit of a rebate back from them.
Well, and even if you did a bank loan, depending on what your payment was, if you use that, like you said, pay for it on the RAP tax or something, maybe enough to cover the loan payment enough that makes sense, I don't know.
Well, the boiler's gonna pay for itself in 5 years.
On gas bills.
On gas bill, that'll be a...
Big savings there.
That'll be a savings too, so... So we wanna go with the Fulton then?
That's what I would think, that's good.
That's the best option.
Yes.
I think we'd wanna go with that.
Did you guys get to see this?
They're saying 23rd year out of it, I mean, that's...
Both service tech here.
Yeah, we get something, we'll go 20 years, we don't have to... I probably won't be around here to go swimming.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I will, that was 1994.
Yeah, we're gonna let you see. Say a nuclear power plant running. We're gonna live to go to Idaho and see that nuclear power plant.
Okay. Well, I'll live that long, that's just 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
I hope I will, I'm trying to stay on top of it.
After that, we can...
Every day's a new day.
Well, Mr. Duke, we need a motion on it, I don't imagine?
Yes, we do. And kinda which way we'd like to look at. I think basically what we'd have to do is get the motion to give Stallings the go-ahead to order the stuff, and then we need to look at how we're gonna finance it for sure, and everything that way. Some kind of a dual motion, I guess, to move ahead, but... More coming on financing than how it's actually...
Take that, Bobby.
So we're going with the Stallings right here.
He's coming as the lowest price on the quotes. I got two other quotes from people a little up north, and I asked Peterson Plumbing, they were too busy, they wouldn't give me the price, and one other guy didn't get back to me, so...
So you want to make him the price?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make the motion, we approve.
So it's the 106 is what we're looking at on Stallings bid, that's the one thing that's deceiving, because they totaled both of these. I hate that, because it's...
Yeah, I don't know why they done that.
The option two is the high efficiency that we're doing, the 106.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the bid by Stallings Sheet Metal Incorporated for a boiler for the swim pool up there, a high efficiency boiler, and the Fulton boiler, in the amount of $106,173.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell, seconded by Lynn, to go ahead and approve the Stallings bid for a new boiler in the Aquatic Center for the amount of $106,173. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Bull?
Yeah.
Lundy?
Yes.
You want this back?
Yeah.
Do you want this one back?
Yep. And then I did include a basic project timeline of what we're going to be, what we're planning on doing during the closure, because we can accomplish a lot during that time. Just to kind of know what's going on. Obviously, the plaster, now the boiler. We're going to fix some of the work wood, just because of the environment that happens. We're gonna check the walls, we're gonna check everything we need. There's some things that we're gonna do, like there's, we have some screws that are in the ground that are just rusty and they're causing problems, so we're gonna take care of that. There's also rust on our gas line and at the bottom of our diving board, we're gonna scrape off and repaint, so that one's safe as well. Then my staff, we're gonna deep clean everything, we're gonna make it as shiny as we can. So just so you can kind of see what all is happening.
But just Brittany being gone ain't gonna work.
I am going to Disneyland with my family, so I would really like to do that. And it will not affect anything.
Did you get some bids on floors up there?
I am currently working on...
Not some bids, but get somebody some ideas of what we can use on them?
Yes, so all of the floor people I've talked to said floating the floor would not be a good idea. They actually recommend having a plumber come in and actually fix the drain or install drains that we do the drains we have. We have drainage issues, the water just kind of puddles in certain spots, and it's a hazard. They did say that they could do the office floors and the bathrooms and that sort of thing, because that paint's coming up. And then we have, the lifeguards have nicknamed it Death's Corner, because it's really, really slippery, and they nicknamed everything. So we've gotten some ideas for epoxy and stuff on that.
That's what I was wondering, what kind of epoxy they'd use on there to take away the slip?
They throw a sand.
That one you call a Death Corner down there?
Yeah, that one. So they said an epoxy with grit, they had a special no slip something or other. I don't know, they was kind of mumbling to themselves that they were taking notes, so I don't know yet.
Somebody went down there, she took me down and showed me that. If somebody goes down and gets hurt, one lawsuit will pay for what it'll cost us to take care of them floors.
And it's just the one.
Corner right there, yeah.
They're gonna do it, we just won't have to do the whole pool.
Was it, just as a question, is there a sign there that says caution slippery?
No.
Probably be a good idea until we get fixed.
Cole, did you have any signs?
That'll just help mitigate some issues, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Caution wet floor or something, anything.
Yeah, something to say slippery area or something, you know, you get the little triangle ones that you put there.
We use some anti-slip stuff on our trucks, so I don't know if it can be used on cement or.
Did you put in the water or in the back of your trucks?
Yeah.
Is that Rhino?
Well, it's not like a Rhino, it's like a, we have some.
That's really cool.
Sticker one, says the sticker coarse ones, and then we have some, it's kind of like Rhino, but, yeah, it works pretty good. I don't know how well it works on cement.
Okay.
Any questions on this? Okay, it is subject to change, obviously, but that's just where we're at for right now, so.
So while you're right now, I just got a quick question, because we're having a heck of a lot of problems with computers up there.
Yeah, we are.
So I told him, you know, we would bring that up, see what we could do with them, because it's kind of a joke.
It is. So our computers, we got when we opened, so they're about 6 years old, which is ancient in computer technology timeframes. Our IT guy has taken the one that's there now and has given it an update, and I have been told it runs slower now than it did originally. And the other one's not even back yet. Our timekeeper is not working on that computer. Our card readers are a joke. We have to call City Hall all the time, because the computer will not talk to the internet and won't send things. So I have some technology enthusiastic staff looking at computers. And then they're doing the research for me, and then they'll let me know, so okay. I might come back with a request for a new computer or two.
Yeah, it's definitely needed.
It's
definitely.
Well, it's obviously it's not all fiber, is it? Mm-hmm. So I know they just pulled fiber all through town, so I'm curious.
The library got it.
Library got fiber, yeah.
Wireless doesn't work super good in my phone.
Yeah, well, yeah, go fiber and then convert it.
Yeah.
Fiber into the building and go to Cal. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great, but okay. That's one of the things I don't know a lot about. So. But yeah. So that's
okay. Okay, thanks, Brittany.
Okay. Next is City Council sound room system upgrade. I emailed everybody the quote.
I forgot to print that off. I were emailed it.
I got a couple copies here.
I've seen it.
It definitely needs upgraded by all means.
So this was kind of what I went. Well, what he done is he done Fayette.
Yeah.
He done Fayette's. City Council down there, the mayor was telling me in our mayor commission meeting how nice it was, so I asked him to come give us a price, and kind of went with all the bells and whistles we possibly could.
So do we need to get another bid?
We have another bid. We have another bid.
GE had another bid from another company, but I kind of...
More.
Yeah, it was like double this one. So I just brought this up just to see what your guys' thoughts was as far as...
Could we, well, with the arena out there, they need the sound system too, but I guess I'd go through the RDA.
Yeah.
I was gonna say maybe...
The building is a city building, yeah. So I don't think it'd go through the RDA.
Thinking maybe we could get them to do both. Give us...
Might get the money from the RDA.
No, but we could.
You can have them go out and give you a quote.
This guy would be more than happy to go give you, go give us a quote on it.
I think we are.
Did you actually had a quote already, one?
I don't know.
I thought when you was at the last meeting, he did. I thought you said something about that.
So I don't know, you know, what to...
But that'd give you a comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little different because what you're looking for here is for you guys to have microphones and for the people out here to be able to hear what you're saying and connect it into the system here so that anybody at home can hear it better too.
And then it included a...
The monitor.
75-inch monitor that we could hang. We'd either move this picture here and hang it there on one of these two walls when the guy was here looking.
So I could be sharing the stuff that you guys are looking at up there so anybody here in attendance could see.
I kind of liked how they had it last night on that.
Yeah.
On the cart?
Cart, you can wheel it around, you know?
Well, I'd like to see if that one you got from UAMPS would work and not have to buy another one.
The one over in our office?
The one over in the office, because if we could get that to work, either hang it or, you know. Cart's nice because you take it somewhere else. Well, you wouldn't want it to leave the building, but you could move it to a different location.
Right. So I'm wondering, I'll talk to UAMPS. They might have some more surplus stuff up there.
But even this guy said, you know, if we wanted to start out with just a sound system, we could just do the sound system. This system had computers for everybody. Our hope is to get away from having to print everything. We email stuff to it. You could come on, you could pull all your emails up and we wouldn't have to keep printing all the papers. So I, you know, I guess a lot of it's just talk action, which way we want to go. We want to pull back, we want to get another bid. Do we, you know, what do we want to do?
That would be nice not to have all the papers.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, now would I start all my fires?
I think we've been holding off for a long time. I think we'll get it done. And then use this one as leverage for out there and ask him, okay, so if we do both places, what kind of a deal you gonna give us?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
If we get a break.
Always use that. You probably might even get a little tweeter deal when you do both of them. And then see, I don't know, maybe Mark, you have to talk to Mark, see if he forked up some money out there.
Oh, I know he would. I know he would.
I'm always looking for a deal. That's just good business.
Yeah, we just had so many complaints in here that it would be nice to have.
I agree.
A system.
Brittany says she could use a sound system too.
I would love one.
So he's sure you can do it.
Not for playing music, let me explain. During our meets, the speakers that we have, it's only for subway flushers or...
We could get you a megaphone.
I might be yelling loud.
She has a big one, she could yell loud.
I just want you to keep my voice.
So she loses her voice.
Yeah, currently for the meets...
It'd be nice if we had somebody, we could hear them out there a little better.
Wouldn't you think the district or somebody would bring something where it's their meet?
Actually, Trish Rasmussen from the Rasmussen Mortuary here in town, she brings her speaker system every meet, home meet that we have.
You almost need a different system because you wouldn't want to leave your system out all the time. I don't think it would get killed from the water.
It would need to be a very specific system to not die.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this system here, I would think they could put mics in the ceiling so we could...
So this had two cordless mics built into this bid? So we could actually, you could actually pass a mic out through the audience if we wanted to.
Karaoke.
So basically what they'd do is have one on the podium, then another portable one if we wanted to go. The only thing that was, I was thinking about this a little bit last night when I was down in Ephraim. The only thing that I did like in Ephraim is where they had the other desk for like the recorder and the deal to sit on the side where you could put all the controls on there and not have to have the table. I don't know, that's maybe another option we need to look at too, or something that way.
Well, I know they got these microphones that just hang down from the ceiling.
Well, then you could hear, you wouldn't have to pass anything around. You'd hear everybody out there. When they called your name, you'd have them.
On record.
Things could get a little out of control.
Saying, you would have no control over what they got to say.
I'm just being more facetious there.
The microphones do come with them.
I think it's a good idea to get moved.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something I'd look into, see if we could get
some mics out there in the ceiling.
Well, so it goes to the south, just we could hear them too, as well as they could hear us.
Well, the hope would be that they'd come up to the podium and there would be one at the podium.
Be one at the podium. Get them
out. A lot of them don't come up the podium. They sit right there.
You know, that could be a downfall if you get a whole bunch of them talking and it might.
It would really echo.
Yeah,
it
might be more headache than
you would think. You'd have to have a switch to turn it off down there.
And Jeannie will have a switch to where she can shut mics off.
Yeah.
So if we get to doing a sideline conversation that's not pertaining to...
Right now I can't do, so when you guys have little side conversations, I can go back and listen to them.
They shut me off at UM sometimes.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. But they could.
I don't ever say anything I wouldn't say to somebody's face, so... that's the best way to be.
Well, I think we ought to move forward with...
I do too.
Yeah. ...sound system here in the council room, and then we need to look into maybe having given an estimate for the Contoy Arena.
Contoy. The only thing I was going to say for right now, I'd sooner hold off on the monitor until we see if that one we've already got from UAMPS would work.
Yeah, sure, but don't need to spend the money, that's not... Yeah.
Huh? What's the quote for the monitor, like
3,100?
And if we've already got them, that would save just 3,000.
The 75-inch monitor is 3,100. That's one thing I'd, you know, again, it's like I'd sooner see if we could use that one we've already got than buy another one when we've got one sitting there.
Okay, I'd go for that.
Need a motion, but I don't know what your, I don't know what your mouths are or anything. I can't remember, I know it was in the email.
Excluding the monitor?
Yeah.
Well, even if, it's just a, because I think that's all it is a TV, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And so... TVs are pretty cheap, right?
$3,100 TV.
That's what I was thinking.
That was kind of my thoughts too.
Yeah.
I got one, a spare one that I just put under my bed because I got a new one. Still really good, but it's not very big.
Most TVs have that. Yeah.
There's the quote.
I guess we're good with money finance on this, Dave. We'll go through another question. No, it's kind of probably not a budget hole, a little deeper.
For Donnie, it would be better than.
How's this look at that? We had 1.5 capital reserves when we started this year, and school budgets kind of dipped that pretty heavily. And I, we don't know where that park one is at, but we feel like how long is this quote good for?
My past 20 days.
20 days.
20 days.
20 days.
Again, it's just a lot of electronic equipment. It's hard to get, and prices are fluctuating. Yeah.
That's
22, but if you minus the 3103.85, well,
it'd take it down to 18 if we take the big screen TV off.
Maybe go ahead and. If you guys want to approve that, and I'll just review with the mayor and make sure we're still comfortable 19. With it. I think that'd be okay.
It'd be nice to have it if you can't afford it.
So that would take it down to $19,012.95.
19, what did you say?
$19,012.95. That's minus in that, $3,100.
That's what, just know we're stressed on money with putting as what we are in the pool, but even if we just went with a sound system, you know what I'm saying, there's, he said we could phase it out too, so.
Yeah, he does.
So we could just put the mics up if we wanted to, leave all the computer stuff for right now and don't do it?
You know, but we're really, I think we're behind the game on this anyway. Honestly.
After sending that chamber down east from last night, we're way behind.
So.
These are probably originally from when they built the building, I'm sure.
No, it's, I mean, these.
Oh, the sound system, yeah.
Sure, sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't know of anything they tried to update over the year, I mean, we've talked about it for, yeah, long as I was.
So why are these, what do you plug to?
The speakers, there's a box in here, then there's a cable right here underneath the carpet, you can feel the cable coming in here to there. And that's how the power comes in too, is underneath right here, underneath the carpet. It goes into this panel right here, and you can remove it. And then get right to the plugs.
But it's going up in front, so I wonder.
Make a motion. Go ahead and make the motion, Sam.
For upgrade the sound system here in the council room, Sound Unlimited, in the amount of $19,012.95.
I'll second that motion. It's gonna give the people that attend our meetings online a lot.
That's a big complaint I get, is that if it's close to me in this microphone, they can hear you, but some of you speak so softly, they can't hear you at all.
And I think that's kind of the direction we're going, you know, since COVID, a lot of people attend and they see it online.
We're getting close to $22,000 back for UMass. But I usually keep that in kind of a separate account. Whatever, we could do a payment plan or something.
All right, we have the motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi, to approve Sound Unlimited for sound system here in the council room, $19,012.95. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yeah.
And then that $19,000 includes the computers, so we can get rid of these papers.
Yes.
Just pull up everything basically.
Yes.
Now, are they gonna be built in here?
So the mic and the computer are being mounted right on the counter?
Yeah.
Just FYI, Mayor, the messenger thanks you.
We've been looking at this for a long time.
And Shane will finance it.
And people online can't hear, so.
Calder, can you finance some of it?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, moving on. Next, discussion action on the sewer master plan. We have Gary from JUB. Kind of a little update with this here, what happens is when Mont come to the RDA to approve that study on the water treatment plant, we kind of panicked, and so I've been in reach with Gary. We've met with DEQ today.
Yeah, sure. I'll update you first on the master plan, so I presented it a few months ago.
What's your name?
Gary Nance from JUB Engineers. And then we together decided kind of the three main projects were gonna be a new headworks building with a screen, septic receiving station upgrades, and then lining cell three. We submitted that to DWQ for their review, because they funded the planning study, so there, it's in the process of them reviewing it and finalizing it. In that, as well, we have a sub-consultant that does impact fees, it's an impact fee study, so he is currently taking our master plan with all the costs and dividing it by the number of residents and coming up with impact fees and He is planning to present to council probably March or April, and then we can close it out and we'll be all done. So that's the status of the master plan. In the interim, this planning grant opportunity came up. JEB wasn't involved in the application at all, but the city said, hey, we got this $125,000 planning grant. We reviewed the application, and it basically wants to use lagoon effluent for reuse on city facilities. So it's good you got the grant. It's a great opportunity. It's probably not as simple as it was written in the application, because in order to use it at the arena and other places where there's public contact, you need to have an extra filtration step, and you have to repump it and pressurize it. You got a lot of reporting requirements, and it's just opens up a level of complexity. But again, it's a grant for a study. I know you guys have talked about it in the past, and so we have a little more information on that. I don't know if we want to entertain questions or anything, so.
Does the study, does it get into, where, could we reuse the water for irrigation purposes?
Yeah, there's two ways to reuse in Utah. One is called type one reuse, and that's where there's public contact is likely. And so that would be on grass and on people's lawns, or even go in your secondary water system. To get to that level, you need tertiary filtration. You need membranes or a cloth disc filter or a sand filter.
You have to be a tier four, don't you? Your sanitation.
Yeah, you got to get, you got to
disinfect.
You got to disinfect. Yeah. You got to have zero E. coli, turbidity less than 10.
Basically drinking water.
Pretty much drinking water. And to get from straight from lagoons to that is people have tried, to my knowledge, have never been successful long-term, because there's algae, duckweed, suspended solids in there that's going to blind your filter off, and it's just going to be a maintenance nightmare. And then the reporting requirements that go with it, the disinfection, sampling, the need to test constantly, repumping it into the system. It's in the small amount of water you have. It's, in my opinion, you know, you got free money, but it's going to be a challenge to get type one. But type two water is commonly used from lagoons. That's where they put it on farmland, alfalfa. It needs to be fenced. There's some buffer zone requirements that you need to deal with. You still need to chlorinate and check the E. coli and sample. But it's a lot easier to do. You know, the question is, you know, right now your sewer lagoons, you don't do anything. It just goes in there and disappears. You don't sample. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that. So any level of reuse is going to massively increase the amount of work required.
There's a lot of wells right below the sewer pond, too, that if we had to discharge on a hay field, we'd have to make sure we have that radius of safety down there with one of the wells also.
Yep. Yeah, if there's wells in the way, that's a no-no for reuse, yeah, type 2 reuse stuff.
And there's only certain places the alfalfa can be sold or used on.
Yeah, you could, I mean, and you can do feed corn. Yeah, so it's, the application also talked about wetlands, which again introduces a lot of complexity. And it does not create type one water, wetlands. So oftentimes from lagoons, they are land applying or using wetlands to escape discharging through a water body. The stringent permit limits associated with that. It isn't really a cost thing to reuse it. It's, let's get out of this discharge situation that we're in and dispose of it another way. But you guys don't discharge at all, so it's. But I'm not advocating not taking the grant. I mean, it's $125,000 free money with no strings attached. The only strings is it needs to be, in talking to DWQ, it needs to be a reuse project. Right now, reuse isn't really in the plan, but we'd be happy to, we could potentially create an appendix to the master plan that we have now that compares, you know, how much it costs to get to type 1 reuse, and then the type 2 that's common from lagoons, and compare it to your secondary water well that's, you know, that you guys are moving towards, compare it to your existing secondary water sources and see how things shake out. We can help with that, or you can hand it to someone else to do the work, or you can decide not to take the planning grant. In talking to DWQ today, it seemed like, to me, it seemed they kind of wanted the city to take it, but they didn't care too bad, but it, I don't know. It's just going to be more complex than the latest application, but it's certainly worth, you know, taking.
Well, it'd be good to have it tied into the sewer master plan. I mean, if we're making a sewer master plan, then if you're doing a study on sewer ponds, it should be part of that master plan, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know why we do a master plan and have a separate study separate from a master plan.
And part of it is we don't know how Mont's got that all arranged so far. That's what, we met with DEQ at noon today, actually, on a webinar, because my big concern was, is we was done a prolonged, being able to do anything on our master plan with this here. Because a lot of times when we go for funding, because that's our whole purpose, is do this master plan and then go for funding, I didn't want it to hold up any funding that we could get to line the Lagoon 3 and to do the headworks and everything else. And they did say, that was the nice thing that they did reassure us today, is that it would not stop that. So that was really my big concern, you know, even from 2 weeks ago, it's like. So give me an offer to come, so that's part of the reason why I offered. I hadn't even come to explain a little bit more and stuff that way.
This study won't affect the funding. It won't delay our application for funding.
No.
And then you would be able to give us an option in the plan to reuse the sewer water reclaim.
Yeah, we could add it as an appendix, a separate study, and still try to get funding for the other projects that are needed. But my gut feeling is it's going to be a lot cheaper, easier, secondary water. You know, the well, it's cleaner, you don't have all that strings attached to it, but we can look into it, it's not a problem, so. Like DWQ said, is sometimes it's nice, you know, if you're going out to construction or bid, it's probably not going to pencil out, but what it does do with the money that's out there, the ARPA money, there's a scenario where you can get $10 million in free money to do a plant like this, but he kind of thinks it's unlikely that those days are past. You just never know, so that's why they thought it's worth completing the study, you know, saying which projects could occur, even though they don't appear cost-effective in a, you know, balanced, even world, but if some innovative money comes, you got something that you can ask for.
Well, and you never know with the environmental groups that are out there, if they're going to force you eventually to clean up your sewer water so you can reuse it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been talked about for a long time. But
yeah.
You'd have to totally change our system.
Right.
To do it.
You would.
Yeah.
And that's the case. That's what's happening in a lot of lagoons that discharge to the Provo River or some pristine water body are being forced out of the river because they can't meet those limits. And so then that's when they land and fly. But that land application water is usually more expensive than their other secondary water, but it's a lot cheaper than building a really fancy plant. So, but in your case, there's no discharge. So, I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that. A lot of communities would love to have water that just disappears like you do. So, blows downhill to the ponds, it's gone, you know. So
we need a motion to go ahead with the sewer master plan study or whatever they're doing.
I think it's just informal.
This is kind of an informal because, well,
because didn't we already make them?
We did that in an RDA meeting, but after we done that, really, in my opinion, probably should have come to a city council meeting
versus RDA.
To have that final approval. I mean, in the RDA, you had it good to approve to go forward with it, but So really, we need to meet with Mont and see what he's done so far with this. Because the one thing that DEQ did say today is that we have to make sure that we put it out to bid, and we have to have proof that we've done that, or we have to go with whoever we're developing with our master plan right now and do an addendum to that plan to include that other study. So, I don't know if we really, Dave, do you think?
For the engineering services.
Yeah, for the engineering service. I don't think we really have to, I don't think we can, we're to the point to take any action tonight.
You don't have to take any action, there's.
It's more information just to.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're happy, whichever way you guys decide is totally fine with us, so.
So after talking even with Gary the first week and stuff, it's like, we'll never be able to use this. I don't even know why we're doing the study and wasting our time, but talking to DEQ, they're almost like they want us to use it. It was a very interesting phone call.
They didn't really want to give it back. It's almost like DWQ helped ask for it.
But if you give part of it back, you'll rank higher.
Yeah, so that is one thing that came up. I mean, we did the whole collection and treatment master plan for $65,000 total, whereas this is $125,000. There's no way we come anywhere close to spending that in my mind. So if we did it, we would spend half of it or less and give it back to the water quality board. And
use it for a sound system.
Maybe the swimming pool is water.
And they almost force you to be corrupt. You know?
We could send some sewer effluent to the pool.
find ways to hide it.
I get an occasional floor anyway.
I've already been sewer in the pool.
I know. But like, you can treat it literally.
So I guess there's really no action to take tonight. Just, yeah. And I think that we'll probably have to put on the agenda to actually approve that grant if we're going to do it with, as we move forward on a city council agenda rather than on an RDA agenda, because it actually does come back to the city stuff, so.
And like I said, in the coming months, our sub-consultant's going to talk to about the impact fees, so it'll come to council.
So do you know anything about where we are on our irrigation?
I did talk to Bryce. He gave me an update, I think, so on that, the big secondary water study. I guess they had to move it from environmental assessment to environmental impact statement, which is a little more of a hurdle to jump. But I don't know all the details other than it's in their environmental review, the feds or whatever, for the next few months. And probably
years.
It might be through the summer, like you said.
We've been a long time waiting to build a pond. This move.
Yeah,
the environmental process. When you get back money like that, it's a lot of oops, you got to jump.
Couple this out, things went.
Yeah. And it's all gone.
We're not in cost levels, cost now.
Yeah, probably.
You don't get that to do much.
Yeah, last I heard was $26 million now.
That's more than that now.
Yeah, that's why I said we're not even close. We had 18, wasn't it?
We could go up to 25 million, and that's why we had to go to this other EIS study, is because now there's no limit. Where we were capped out before at 25 million. So, yeah.
And then he said something, you know, 600 acre feet of water, a new well, a secondary well is going to supplement the system, and that's quite a bit of water. Again, that water is probably going to be a lot cheaper than your wastewater water and cleaner.
Yeah.
I know I get asked that just about weekly. Here we got all that snow up there now, and we're not ready for it.
Yeah.
Talk to your federal government.
Yeah. Anything else you have, Gary?
That's all I got. Thanks for letting me come up.
Thank you for coming.
All right.
Thanks for your time with this other hassle and everything else, too.
It's all good. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I haven't gone and looked. I'm assuming you don't have anyone signed up for public.
Same time, there's nobody here.
Everybody else has participated already.
Okay, council reports, Lynn.
Yeah, everything's going pretty good up to the rec center, and so then I've talked about the computers from the pool. Way back when we had that no smoking in the park type of deal, where's that sitting, what do we gotta?
We'd have to get it all redone, because the way we passed it with no smoking on any city property means that nobody can even walk out on a street or smoke or anything else. And we have to have public hearings with it. So we gotta get, and I've talked to Kevin about getting going with that, because he's gonna have to help us on the legal part of that.
Because I think we really need to get it going quick, because we got some smokers out in the park now. They haven't been there this week, but it's been cold, but when the weather was warmer, they'd sit out on them picnic tables and.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think we really need to.
We need to get a pass for the park.
Can we classify areas?
No, we passed it as all city properties.
I know, we passed it that way, but can we go back and reclassify it?
We still have to have a public hearing, so the way we passed it was totally illegal, because we have to have a public hearing and public input before we can pass such an ordinance. Yeah. We did learn that.
That might be another one.
I support it. Let's clean it up.
So anyhow, then again, too, just being around like I get around and stuff now, is I'm wondering if there's any way, we just think about maybe some way we could recognize some of our better employees, like we did the public. Kind of give them that award, or a gift certificate, or gift card, or something. I mean, I was at the library the other day, and I'll tell you what, I seen some person up there that just got right in, and I mean, she just, I was there working on shelves and stuff, man. She walked in, and Dawn had to leave, vacuuming, dusting, cleaning the restrooms. I mean, sweat with it. She's, you know what I'm saying? She didn't have to do that. You know? And we've got a lot of people, you know, like some of Brittany's people and stuff. I mean, that's behind the scenes that just do it. I mean, give them that a boy. Yeah.
I agree with it. I think that we could recognize our employees. You could have an employee in the month. Put forth by the department heads and are recommended by anybody in the department. Recognize them with a, I don't know, gift certificate for dinner for them and their wives, or.
Yeah, just something.
For them and their husband, whatever.
I think it'll do world of good, really. I mean, I think they'll feel appreciated at what they're doing.
It'll be all the way, right, well, yeah.
That's all I got.
I really don't have anything as far as beautification. The snow was pretty. Plenty of it. Shane, if there's anything I can do to help you to try to find grant money to replace the penstock, or.
Yeah, I'm going to talk with the gentleman from Six Counties and.
Shay.
Yeah, Shay, and kind of like that. Because I know there's, I was talking to, who was it? Up to you, Epson. They're able to get money on some of their hydro projects. And so hopefully we can pull that route, and then also maybe see if we can find money to get, you know, update some of the infrastructure in those hydros. That's where we're at now on unit one. I'm having a hard time finding a new rheostat to replace the one that was 1939. And so, but yeah, I got some information. So yeah, I'll thank you.
Speaking of beautification, one thing I wanted to bring up tonight was a city cleanup to set a date.
Yeah, it depends on the spring with all this snow.
Normally in the past, we've done it like the last week of April, first week of May, or something right there. So that was one thing that I didn't have on my, kind of kind of list of things that we ought to talk about.
Weather permitting, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, that's...
If it must be sunny, it might be muddy or muddy.
Yeah, some Aprils are...
It's pretty wet here.
Yeah.
Like, come home, take it and dry it down there.
Go to May? Dries up, it could go very quick.
May will give you a little more time, I think.
Yeah, I think somewhere in May.
What do you think would be the best of your guys, Coulter?
It doesn't matter, we'll be there. Somewhere in May will be fine.
You normally turn the water on mid-April, don't you?
Yeah, April 15th.
So maybe, May.
Might be snow.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe May.
Weather stays at 14.
12, 13.
Do it around that week, I don't think, maybe that. That's why I think normally we've done like April 29th and May 6th, stays off Mother's Day.
Stays away from Mother's Day.
And then if we go too late, we're into Memorial Day.
Yeah. I'd say let's do the same thing, let's hope, let's shoot for it and see what we get.
May 6th.
We can change it as it gets closer, and if it's not gonna work.
So I know Natalie wants to put down in our newsletter that's going out for next month. We talked, she didn't have a whole lot, and I says, well, let's get a city cleanup and kind of get people looking forward to that.
You can take 10 of it.
First week in May.
Yeah, about 10 of it, I think.
So we've done it two Saturdays, and we've just gone to like...
6th and 13th?
Well, the 14th is Mother's Day, so I don't know if we'd want to do it on that weekend.
Well, the 5th is Cinco de Mayo.
Yep, it is.
You guys do nothing like that.
Tacos for those who are there helping.
Well, the 20th and 20th, that's a little late.
So you think we could get to April 29th?
29th and May 6th. Yeah.
I would just say tentative.
Okay, we'll put tentative for right now. Does April 29th and May 6th?
Because, I mean, I don't, like I say, if the weather stays like it is, it's hard to say what it'd be. I don't think it's supposed to get any different than I've heard of, but I don't know.
According to weather tonight, they're lined up out there, we're gonna get some more.
Yeah.
February's supposed to be what?
Yeah, I made that all again.
Here's that outhouse up on top of the mountain.
What's left of it?
A stack.
Now they're close to 7 feet.
Yep.
That's good. So kind of...
The measuring area.
We'll kind of plan that way then.
Okay.
That's what, yeah.
I don't have anything. Brittany took care of me, and Jane takes care of me. We got all the pool thing done.
I gotta get with you.
You have some stuff, okay. I had a question, what happened to our sewer line up there with Baxter's and the school? Has there been anything further there?
You guys kind of voted on waiting on it, so I haven't done anything further.
I just wonder what they, if they had...
So the school, I know, still interested, kind of. That's it for a future development on that old tennis court. Or she hasn't expressed too much interest in them. Brent still, you know, has to get rid of the block for when he decides to build. Everybody wants to just know what the price of new courts and what.
Yeah, see, now prices are coming down.
Can't change.
So we're probably set on, and I was just wondering about that. Other than that, I don't have anything. I know talking with our police officers, which is out of my jurisdiction, I know. But they would love to have a night shift, to have the people to do a night shift. That's the end of that, you know.
When I talked to Jim, he says they just didn't have enough calls.
Yeah, they don't have enough people. They said if we could get, that would take a lot of the load off. When they go home and get off, they can go to sleep. Right now, they go home and they're still on for 4 hours, is it? You're still on call for 4 hours. So they, but I don't know if we reach a point financially where we can afford another officer.
I think we'll have to see if we could get Grant, you think could help us out on that? Shay and those guys?
It would maybe for 1 year, but I don't even think they're out there right now.
this builds a lot of people in the community, it sure like having the shed.
I've heard a lot of it too, yes.
My big concern is the county would totally just...
The county would?
Oh, yeah. We're getting abused right now by the county, in my opinion.
They should call out to all the other cities up here.
Pretty bad.
Never see a county bounty up here. Very rare.
So we got a...
We got two of them on the count.
Yeah.
So the trouble comes is nobody's out on the county, so if we have a police officer out, they feel obligated and they respond, especially on serious deals, and so they're pulling away from the city anyway, and that's what's happening even right now. That happens right now, not a lot.
I was talking to them, and I'm just curious, how does Manti, I mean, they don't have a officer down there.
They have two sheriffs up there.
Yeah, they got the sheriff down there, but they don't patrol all night long down there for them, or...
Nope.
They're just drive-by, drive-through.
They're 8 hours, they have an 8-hour contract with them.
They have what?
8-hour contract with them.
So during the day, from probably 7 to...
And I don't know what their new contract is.
They were redoing, they were only paying $100,000.
They was only paying like $100,000?
$100,000-some for...
For two police officers.
For 2 officers for 8 hours.
And that contract hadn't been renewed for like 20 years, I might be wrong on years, but it hasn't been renewed forever.
But you know, they were talking about redoing it.
It's always befuddled me how they get by down there, night shifts, and that, you know, maybe they don't have the problems we got, I don't know.
I think a lot of deputies run down there, a lot of Southland deputies. So they get called at night, they're on call, like ours, but if there's Ephraim, I think calls that way a lot too.
Is Ephraim talking about going that way?
Well, I mean, they get pulled like our officers do.
They get pulled out.
Because they've got a full-time officer, and they'll get sent. Manti, I've seen them going to work in the morning, they'll come clear north, pigeonhole north, everywhere, so...
Because there's nobody else out.
Well, they just mentioned that would be, they'd love it if we could afford it to have the police officers, but... I don't know. If that's the case, if we're just spending our money to support the rest of the county.
That's my big concern with it, because it's bad right now, how bad they get called out on county things.
That's all I got.
I don't know an easy fix of that either, to be honest with you.
There's not an easy fix. It's not easy. Rondi, what do you have?
Well, Dave scheduled an appointment for us to meet with Sunrise on this Aspen Village road project. We get some, this figure beat down to something we can realistically do. So we're gonna meet with Trent from Sunrise tentatively next Friday, is what we're planning on, to talk about this Aspen Village road project, and also to, you know, tap any loose ends we have at the new road management tool we have, to get that, you know, finish up on that so we can start using it. So we're looking to meet Trent next Friday. So we'll have some more information there for our next meeting. Get some, you know, we've got to get some numbers that we can use.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, total available, I was talking to Dave earlier, maybe it was at the end of last week, we were looking at about $360,000 in our road budget this year. So not quite as much as last year, but, and then we have to use some of that to match that grant for whatever we, you know, whatever that might be up in Aspen Village, to get those roads done. So, and then I've noticed that doing a really good job plowing the roads and the sidewalks, so...
We got some pothole mix in, we're gonna start on potholes tomorrow.
Yeah, there's, I'm sure you know about some there, two north and State Street.
Yeah.
Couple of them, but that's good.
So we started on that tomorrow.
I've noticed the sidewalks are getting pushed, and doing a good job with the roadside.
He did have to order more salt and cinders because we've used what we normally have a lot of for the year.
Yeah, I'm rolling another half batch, we'll see how far we get.
We hope, I blow, I belly it double today, but this county.
Yeah, too.
Who sends it north and fifth west?
We got a drainage issue there.
We got a bad drainage issue. How high, how much higher is fifth west than the, not right there? Could we put in a catch basin there and run it over into the creek?
Yeah, that's what we're gonna have to.
Yeah, because that, you lose a Volkswagen in there right now.
Could we catch it earlier than fifth west? Could we catch it up on fourth?
If we could catch it on state, that would be a blessing, because it's blown out first and.
That's where it's coming from, is clear up from state, I know.
Taking out that first west intersection, it's back, isn't it? High water coming off of state.
You got that one and then the one out on fifth south is back too.
Maybe you could probably fill the ditches in on the side.
See, that's what I was thinking, I think we could probably fix it, drain it, go to the creek with a catch basin there or something. They could run it over, double it in the creek.
Coming down, you got that intersection at first west, it's all blown out. Down the front of Love's old house is blown out. And then it kind of gets a little bit better till it hits down to Johansson. And then from there, we need to put a drainage block in and get it over to the creek. Lynn helped with a little project down there doing pipe over to a ditch right there. But it's still not draining enough water. We gotta do one more step on that.
Yeah, it needs to be taken care of. Then we talked earlier, council, my base, well, didn't you, about a road tax or something and getting our roads done, or grant or something to get these roads? Are we gonna wait until we get the irrigation system to do our road?
We'll be dead by that time. So, when does our other road bond come up, 25?
I think it's 2025 and 2026 is when the 50, they're both 50,000, bonds. And 2025, 2026, they're when they're off. So you have $100,000 a year in debt payments that are off the books.
And maybe Shay, well, Six County can find us some grant money, because I want to fix as many as we can, as fast as we can.
Yeah.
We got to.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where it's getting overwhelming. Obviously, our budget at $360,000.
Part of the big trouble though is we gotta take care of the drainage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drainage is what's killing our roads.
That second north, to do that right, you'd have to put a pipe all the way down to fifth west and put catch basins on each corner.
Yeah.
To do it right.
And rebuild the road.
Or you'd just blow it out again.
You know, the funny thing is you can't put water on State Street, but State Street could put water everywhere else.
That's right.
They flood us out down the substation. I would entertain seeing what they could come up with.
Backed up to your hydro there.
Oh, I know. Maybe we need to have them look into some road money from CIB and.
I don't know, we talked about maybe getting grant money or something.
I think what we ought to do first of all is go into that, Shay mentioned the road master plan. That UDOT would fund that to get that, and I think that would help us an awful lot to.
Get that grant.
To get the grant and to identify these drainage issues and maybe some solutions to help do that.
Yeah.
That's probably where I think we need to start.
This new roadway management tool.
But we need to start.
Yeah, we start.
Sunrise will be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's things that.
That'll be a tool in our, you know, toolbox we can use to. Towards getting grants, but there's no way we're gonna take care of them. They're getting bad faster than we can fix them.
I can only put so much lipstick on it.
Yeah. And $300,000 doesn't go very far. I mean, last year we was doing about 25,000 a block, 30,000 a block probably, so you're looking at 10 blocks and we're firing our budget. And that doesn't include any chip sealing that we should probably be doing.
I don't have to go to the store to get my air chewed off. I'll do it right around my life.
Just drive down the road, huh?
There's so many horrible roads.
We're gonna do something with the Dinkin' Road. We had a pothole the other day, thought my front end would come out underneath my truck.
I told my wife, just drive like you're drunk.
And maybe we ought to look into a bond election to see what the, if the citizens want to borrow the money to get them done and pay for them for the next 30 years.
Well, a lot of people have told me they'd pay.
Yeah.
They'd pay to get our roads done. So, you know, that's something you might want to have a public hearing about and see where it goes, but.
Yeah, this irrigation project's going nowhere fast.
No, I'll say that.
We've been patient with it, but at some point you gotta do something with your roads.
I think we need to tell them we're not getting one. So then when it comes, it'll be.
Surprise. What they do?
You can bore under the roads if you, you know, I know that's a lot more money, but.
Well, they can, if it done it done right, they can patch it. They can go back and patch it, but.
The nice thing is, if they do this impact goal and there's no cap on it, a lot of that money, when they rip through these roads, that money goes towards, they can take that money and put it towards redoing the roads that they rip up. And it would come out of our pocket.
Yeah, they're flurry purses.
That's
the biggest thing is to get rid of this drainage deal. I mean, we solved that. I think we're gonna solve bits of big problems.
Get there on two north.
Well, I think temporary could be a lot of good to take the blade down it and cut some ditch.
We could get it all together, just do it and then put the road in right behind it, so everything was done and done. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
Get the water. It'd be interesting to take a road grader down Second North and see what you could do. I mean, there's that road and I know Maverick Road on the west side's terrible. They're terrible.
Even if you had to haul the dirt, I mean, if you blade that and cut that over in that ditch, it's gonna get off the damn road.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it just helps save our loads so much by just going and trying to get them off.
Yeah.
Get our.
The problem is these people fill them back in with gravel. So you blade it off and they just fill it back in the driveways.
As long as, well, if we require them to put a pipe or something, then that's what we need, you know? It's all city right away.
Yeah, it's all city right away.
It boils down to.
We ought to come up with a plan. If they want to make their driveway better, they're gonna have to dig it down and then put the gravel in.
Will they do with the driveways and they've already got asphalt to.
Yeah.
That's a whole, well. Well, the thing is none of them have a permit. In your city code, it states that if they have a driveway, they have to have a permit for it. There's not a single permit that I know of that's ever been given on an asphalt driveway. Granted, it's a kind of a PR thing, but really, you know, the problem is it's great to take. They are.
The worst one is our ex-mayor's driveway.
There's so much that needs to be done.
Dave Blackens.
It's my driveway. Well, maybe that's where you can look at.
Just as high as the road.
Storm grade on Second North, and maybe just do Second North from 90th to 5th West.
Yeah.
Because that whole road's getting.
Seven south up the school's terrible. Drainage wise.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a mess. It is a mess.
Over there, that huge parking lot by the high school, yeah, we need to get some drainage in there too.
Sad part is that should've been kept on the school district property. That shouldn't come into the city property.
All that water?
Yeah, we'll see a lot of water this year going out that baby.
Yeah.
There's a salt there, but it fills up right now.
But yeah, it should've been in the parking lot, not out on the city road.
Anyhow, that's all I have to report tonight.
Okay.
We got a big help in the room. It's getting harder and more, so.
Sam, what do you have?
So I'm just glad Shane's here. I was gonna, we had that fire last night and kind of in our SOPs, I'm just gonna add it to that. If it's electrical, then we're gonna have you guys, if you're good, just come pull that meter. That way, you know.
Pull the meter or just kill it, the transformer.
Yeah, or the other, the reason, in that way they're gonna have to get an electrician to come out and actually go through their stuff and say, hey, it's, that way it's not on us and it's not on you guys saying, hey.
Well, I did get.
Put the power back into this thing.
Apparently I missed a call from dispatch last night.
Yeah, we tried to call it first.
Oh. So I gotta get dispatch and tell them, you know, to call the on-call.
Well, that's what she called me and I told her to call 2502. Is that still a number, right?
Just call the city number.
456.
Yeah, is that still 2502, or did that change?
Just haven't called 2456, because when we switched over there, it went to...
It's all weirded out.
Yeah, 2456.
It's easier just to tell them to call 2456.
Then they have the option to choose.
They have the option to choose public works, choose water.
So we probably just need to get all the dispatch on that, but I don't know, they're finicky, but anyway.
Well, and a lot of that depends on who you get as a dispatcher, too.
It does.
Because I talk to, we get calls all the time.
But anyway, I don't know, and I debate whether we ought to do that as an SOP on all, if it's any kind of structure fire. But then on the other cases, if it's something mild, that's maybe case for case, too.
Well, yeah, and you know, and we could determine, you know, how safe it is in the meter.
But I guess they called, there was much more confusion or something, because they called you guys, they said you guys wanted to call, they wanted to call me, so they found a good clearance. So I don't know, because if you guys coming for us, once they clear it, they go for you guys, I'll pay that.
One other thing, we have the person who wants to reopen the matter.
Yeah.
I would recommend we meet with the county, like we did with the train cars and different things. Get the county inspector there to go through that with you.
They are. They're in the treaty, is it?
No.
They're up code for matter. Matter had it up code. Matter had it because I got Troy involved. We got Troy involved, because they were actually locking the doors shut on the exit.
Some of the windows of it's boarded up and different, that's definitely a concern.
Yeah, but they're not rooms. Well, they're not, we put it this way, they're not a bedroom. They're used as storage, which...
There's another one that they're gonna need a fire inspection, I'll talk to you after.
But anyway, that's all I was, just kind of like you being there, that's kind of what I was thinking, just wind that in, but just call whoever's on call, I guess, and get it set up that way, but... I'll just have it in our SOPs that they run it through dispatch, because then it's all recorded as well.
Exactly, yeah, it's good to have that. Well, and I'd like to see, I mean, the guy on the fire seems to be the one calling the shots.
Yeah.
Obviously, so...
But I don't know if that's what I was wondering, is it easier for you guys to come pull the meter? Because I don't know which is easier for you guys, but...
No, yeah, if there's, yeah, we'll have to come pull the meter, and if it's affecting the meter base or whatever, we'll come to transform it.
Yeah, if it's perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I was gonna ask you, did they update that? Because I know Toby was talking, you guys have had a lot of problems with that house anyway, with their breaker.
Yes.
Did you guys have them update that as well, or did they do anything with that?
I don't think they've done anything, I think we need to have those girls in the office send another letter.
Because they would have been a good option to do that, because they were locked out until they were back up to current power.
But now would be the time to do it with the situation that they passed. Just give them, hey, you got, you know, 30 days to get it up. I'll get rid of that tomorrow, we'll get a letter out to them, that'd be good.
Anyway, that was a mess, so... Figure we'd be waking you up, boy. That's all I got, but...
Okay, the only other thing I have, just to give you a heads up, I had this Elderberry Family Farms has submitted to do a grant to do farmer's market. Was wanting to know if Mount Pleasant would like to participate, I told them that we would, it's a free deal. What they're trying to do is get to where the farmers can learn lots of things and have a farmer's market, and they're tying it in with the food bank. So if you hear anything about it, that's kind of just to give you a heads up. What the city, what they'd like to do from the cities, be able to use either the park or like the rodeo grounds or something, that way as a place to host.
Most likely require a special event, like the business license.
Right.
I'd say keep it away from the park.
We'd probably do it out to the rodeo grounds, right there, where I was thinking was probably be what we'd have to do. But they're doing it in conjunction with the food bank and everybody else, but...
So is it where they bring in like vegetables or something like that?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
And then part of it's training for anybody that's like raising something, if they want to sell it, to be able to help train them how to be able to sell it or market it. So.
Company doing it?
It's a Elderberry Farms, Family Farms LLC out of Payson. So it's trying to get that to where they help free farmer markets, the share events, utilizing advertisement, like the city advertisement, but identifying ways to continue green share events in your community, tying in with the food bank. So if somebody's got like garden events or garden stuff that they can tie in with the food bank and be able to
donate
it to the food bank, and the food bank be able to distribute it type deal. So.
Food bank do anything with fresh stuff? I guess they do.
I guess this is part of what they're trying to do, tie it in with this grant and everything else too. So if you hear anything, just so you got, you know, heads up on it type deal. And it would be late fall when they would do it. They're looking at doing it in other cities around too. So.
There's a need. A lot of people go without.
Yep, there is.
Probably gonna get worse.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Then I'll make a motion. We adjourn.
Who seconded it? Who seconded it?
I'll
second it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed?
So, thank you.
Let's stay here all day.
I have something to cover about cemetery.